Welcome once again to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Alison Tufts. Each week we visit with an author, editor, or publisher from our region. We hope to find out a little about their lives, why they love to write. We give them an opportunity to read some of their work, and we're very pleased to have Alison Tufts with us today. Alison Tufts is the author of Lessons from Behind the Glass. Alison has always followed her passions in the careers she's chosen, working as campaign manager for the United Way when she and her team raised over $1 million for the community, then working for hospice, comforting the dying, and also facilitating several grief support groups for both children and adults. 3 years ago, she returned to a career in human resources. Meanwhile, she's been raising 2 children and become a passionate hockey mum. Her book has grown out of her experiences in the arena watching her son play. Welcome, Alison.
Thank you for having me.
So this is your first book, I believe. Why did you decide to write Lessons from Behind the Glass?
I have to say it happened by accident. I had always enjoyed writing, but it was something I usually kept for myself. I didn't normally show anybody. And what happened was when my son started to play hockey, he is a goalie, I used to find it quite stressful to watch. And I would leave games and I would want to talk to my husband at length about how he did or decisions that the coaches made or maybe things I'd heard other parents say. And my husband had a lot of experience with hockey, and so he would talk to me very briefly, but he didn't want to go over it for an hour after every game, so I would sit at the computer and I would write. And what happened was, after many years and many entries of my son playing hockey, a book was there as I read back, and I thought it would be kind of funny. And once he was well out of hockey, I decided to put it in book form. So that's how it came to be.
That's an interesting story in itself. So did the book turn out to be fiction or a collection of real-life stories or essays or what?
It is a reflection of real-life stories, but they aren't just stories that my son experienced. There are some characters that came from when I watched my brothers play or characters that came from when I watched my husband play. Mm-hmm. So it does really follow our journey with our son through the minor hockey experience, but there are some colorful stories in there and colorful characters in there to sort of add to the story.
I see. Well, I'm going to ask you why being a hockey mom is so stressful, but I have to tell you that when my son took up hockey at the age of 11, I couldn't watch the games. And that was not really because of what went on the ice. It was because of the other, of the parent in the stands. So why is it so stressful for you?
I think you just made a really, really good point right there. Sometimes it's not just about watching your kids on the ice, because that can be stressful if you feel like they're not performing or if they're upset. But one of my greatest stressors was what people said around me or the way the kids were being talked about or some of the conduct around me. And quite honestly, I had days when I went and watched him play that weren't my proudest moments, when I would leave the rink feeling quite ashamed of myself at how I had reacted or how emotional I got. And really, that's where the stress came into play for me.
I'm going to ask you first, are there rewards as well as plenty of stress? Being a hockey mom, I mean.
There are numerous awards, and I think if as parents we can look at the game in a less stressful way, we'll be able to enjoy the rewards. And the rewards, when I say rewards, I'm not talking about medals. I'm not talking about making it really far. The rewards that come out of that are the young people that learn all about being resilient and learn what it's like to be disappointed and pull themselves back up and earn a spot on a team that they want. And if they don't earn that spot, how do they play at the level where they belong and thrive in that? Because really, that's life. They're going to go for interviews for jobs that they really want one day that they won't get.
Yes.
And hockey is a great, great way of teaching your kids how to deal with those life decisions that are going to come, they're going to come across as they get older.
Yes, I think I agree with you. And do you think that the stress has been mitigated to some degree in more recent years? I mean, when my child was playing, it was in the early 70s. But my grandchildren play, and they don't seem to be... I have been able to go and watch them.
and that might be the difference of not being the mum and having the experience of being the grandma now, right? You hope, it's my hope that one day I'll get to watch my grandkids and actually enjoy it. I do think there is a lot of stress in the game now because it seems to be a year-round sport. So for a lot of parents, it's the feeling of wanting to make sure that their kids keep up and they've got them in the right power skating and they've got them in dry land and they've got them doing all of these extra things so that they can keep up in the hockey world. And I don't think there was as much of that years ago.
Uh-huh.
I think before in the summer, kids used to swim and play ball and do all that. Now, often in the summer, you finish winter hockey and you're heading into spring hockey. And it's hard financially. But again, if it's something your child wants to do and you can afford it, it's amazing. If it's something you're doing for your child as parents because you're trying to push them through to the NHL, that's a different story.
Right. Well, how about reading to us from Lessons from Behind the Glass?
Sure, I'd love to. So I'm going to read you the chapter that's called Parents See Hockey Through a Different Set of Eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And I chose that one today because I've started a video series, and that is the video for the week, too, so I can explain a little bit more about that later.
Okay.
So this is Lesson 3, Parents See Hockey Through a Different Set of Eyes. Do you remember those moments when you would be in the schoolyard playing Red Rover and you would stand there sweating, waiting for someone to say, let's call Jane over, but nobody would? That's the only way I can explain what it's like to join a group of parents and kids on a team that had already played together for a year. Talk about being the new kid on the block. Needless to say, that feeling of being excited about reps, hockey, didn't last long. The fact that Jack wasn't a goalie didn't help either. The other goalie had been their only netminder the year before, and he did very well. I knew Jack would have to go in and be strong from the start if anyone was going to have any faith in him at all. Don't get me wrong, he was excited to be there, and we managed to bribe his sister Jessie into being excited too. It wasn't long before we received the dreaded game schedule. I realized at that point just how important it was going to be to keep Jess included and to make her somehow enjoy the experience. Hockey was officially about to take over our lives, and I needed her to feel like it wasn't. They started the season with a tournament. It's a great way to start because the games don't count in the regular season standings, and it gives the coaches a chance to decide who will be their stronger players, who will work the power play, and who will be the starting goalie. My husband had driven up with Jack and Jesse ahead of me, his name is Steve, because I had to work. I arrived at game time and couldn't find them. I made my way behind the glass to stand behind Jack's net. I was so excited remembering his last game in House League when his team won the championship. These parents would see him play and realize that he was a great addition to this team. We'd have drinks together, and it would be like we'd been on this team forever. I had stopped him plenty of time to get myself some hot chocolate to enjoy while watching the game. As I settled into my spot, I recognized a man beside me as a father from our team. I smiled and took comfort in the fact that we were both cheering for the same kids. Boy, was I wrong. The game started, and it became very apparent that rep hockey was significantly faster than Jack was used to. Within seconds, the puck was in Jack's end, and to my devastation, it was then in Jack's net. My stomach sank. I felt so sick for my boy, who was doing his best to play well, to fit in, and to learn the speed of this new game. I looked to the man beside me for comfort and perhaps some words of encouragement, but he was too busy swearing and beating the glass to help me in any way. As the game progressed, Jack continued to get scored on, and his shoulders went down farther and farther. He was getting very discouraged, and to my devastation, I knew that nobody would let me on the ice to hug him or offer him a Timbit. I thought if he could see me, that might help, so I did everything else to get his attention, to give him a thumbs up and a smile. I even blew him a kiss, but I couldn't find a spot behind the glass to watch through because this man beside me was now pacing, yelling, and swearing, and he may even been having a seizure. Believe me, it was hard to tell the difference. Finally, the game ended, and we lost. I saw some of Jack's teammates come over and tap his pads and talk to him. I felt a bit better knowing that at least the kids were being nice, even if this father beside me wasn't. I collected myself and wiped the hot chocolate off my coat, the new coat I had bought to fit in with the other stylish mothers. I had spilled it because I was trying to make the saves from my spot behind the net. I don't know a goalie mom out there who can sit still while their child is playing. After the game, I watched Jack and Steve walk to the car, Steve talking the whole time with his hand on Jack's head. Finally, Jack got into the car looking all sweaty, cheeks rosy, and his little half-moon eyes looking sad. Jack had the kind of eyes that disappeared when he smiled, beautiful blue eyes that told you exactly how he was feeling. Nervously, I turned to him and said, "Good job, bud." He looked at me like I had three heads. Panicking, I went on to say, "I tried to blow you a kiss, but you didn't see me," at which point my husband then gave me the same look. "Okay, I need to try something else. If they would have let me come and give you a hug between periods, I would have." Surely that would bring a smile to his face. At that point, he erupted. I'd never seen Jack so mad at me. He looked at me and said, "Don't ever blow me a kiss on the ice. Did anyone see you? Dad, tell her." I looked at Steve, clearly out of my element, and devastated that my son was so angry at me. The car got quiet, and just when I thought it was over, he said, "And don't stand behind my net again." I turned to him to tell him not to talk to me like that, but Steve looked at me sharply, clearly indicating that enough had been said. At that point, the car went quiet, other than Jessie, who sang Hannah Montana songs while playing with her doll in the back seat. We arrived at the hotel and got the kids settled. I was dying for a brief moment with my husband so I could ask him what just happened. Finally, we got some time alone, and I was about to yell at him for not supporting me in the car. But before I could say anything, he looked at me and said, "He just got scored on 9 times. You have to give him time to get over that. He wasn't trying to be mean to you. He's just upset. It's his first game at this level. He'll get used to the speed and figure it out." I didn't like anything he was saying, so I started to defend Jack. "Doesn't anyone care that he's brand new on the team? That he isn't used to the speed? That he couldn't see his mom cheering him on? Doesn't anyone care that he's not used to tournaments and doesn't know the kids and he's never been scored on this many times before? They should give him a chance to get used to all this." What a horrible position for him. I wanted to keep going and offer a million other reasons why it didn't go well, but Steve cut me off abruptly. "Do you honestly think anyone on that team cares about any of that? I have news for you. They don't. They want the team to win, and they want the best people on the ice to give them the best chance to win. It's not up to everyone else on the team to take care of Jack. He has to learn this himself. He has to learn that whatever he's going through, if he wants to play, he has to be at his best." Then he said something to me that I'll never forget. "You're the mom, not the coach. You see all of this very differently." It hit me like a ton of bricks. This was a club I just didn't belong to, and one that I was going to have a really hard time getting used to. I realized that this was a bond that Jack and Steve would always have, that quiet understanding of two people who have shared the same experiences. As a non-athlete, I truly didn't understand competing. And as much as I tried, I often managed to say all the wrong things. Steve always had a way of putting things into perspective. He saw things as they were. There was no fluff in his explanations, and if you asked him a question, you had better be prepared for the truth. I could feel a huge lump growing in my throat. Then tears started to come down my eyes, and I finally mustered up the words, "What if he doesn't belong here? You should have heard that man standing beside me. Every time Jack got scored on, he'd bang the glass and yell." Steve quickly said, "Ignore that. Jack didn't hear him, and all we need to worry about is Jack. People are going to talk about him until they believe he can play well, and he will. It all comes down to how he plays." We had just had our first experience with rep, and not only did I hate it, I had failed miserably at it. How was I going to get through a whole season?
Thank you, Allison. Now we'll take a short break.